and you're listening to episode 1 of the Miscast, Nerd Birds in Space. I'm your host, Jonathan Crummett.
And I'm Johnny Dollar. So I guess we should go ahead and explain what Nerd Birds in Space is. We should probably explain what Miscast is ahead of time. So last week, or 2 weeks ago, or however long it's going to be before this next one comes out, we had a contest where you would name our podcast. And I swear everyone and their cousin all had the same brilliant idea. Like the collective lizard brain unconsciousness of the world said, hey, those guys should be called Miscast.
I actually, when I told people at work that that we were doing this, they said, you should do Miscast. I mean, they didn't even email it in. I had somebody at work tell me that it should be Miscast. So I guess we're Miscast.
I guess we are Miscast.
Okay.
So we're not going to choose a winner. I guess the only winner we have to say would be Bob Norton, because he was at a dog's birthday party with us a few weeks ago. Said Miscast. That's how Justin Farrington remembers it. Justin Farrington is the captain. Therefore, we'll go with what he says.
All right.
So Nerd Birds in Space, where does that come from, Jonathan?
So I wanted to name every episode. You know, like television's episodes are all named and stuff. So I thought, well, I'll start naming them after past MizCon. So I went onto our website.
Wait, MizCon 1 was Nerd Birds in Space?
Well, I don't know what MizCon 1 was. I went to our website. I went to the section of the MizCon Pass, and it gives you an image, which I think was the first program. And it's a bunch of birds in a spaceship sitting around a table playing role-playing games.
What kind of birds were they?
Maybe ducks. Maybe they were related to Howard the Duck.
Maybe they were, I don't know, Millennium Falcons.
Yeah.
Tip your waitress, I'll be here all week.
Yeah.
So we're going to just sort of, that's a good idea. We're going to go through and then each podcast will be related to whatever that MISCON was.
Right.
So when we like start lapping MISCON, we will be able to name
all the future MISCONs.
Yeah, take that, Justin Barba. We're naming the future ones.
So let's jump in with books.
Let's talk about books. Last week, big in the world of science fiction fantasy books, the long-awaited fifth book in the Song of Ice and Fire series, A Dance, is it of Dragons or with Dragons?
It's A Dance with Dragons.
You know, I think that I was thinking Dance of Dragons because it'd be like a great collective name for what a group of dragons is. Like you see a herd of elk or a pit of snakes. I'm like, oh, look, there's a Dance of Dragons.
That would work.
But
Have you started reading it?
I have started reading it. It is... Oh, it's really good. I was worried because I wasn't the biggest fan of the fourth book, but I'm about a quarter of the way in, and I'm just going to say, holy crap, it's like he hates his characters.
I don't want to hear that.
No, I mean, just saying, it's really good, really well written. Was it worth the wait? I think so, because I'm not whiny. But it's solid, really solid.
I've picked it up. I haven't started reading it yet. There's two reasons. First being, I'm in a class right now, and I've been stuck reading for it for the last 3 weeks. And I'm also about 75% of the way through with Stephen Hamilton's The Dreaming Void.
You talked about that one. That sounds pretty cool.
It is it's a space opera. And so Peter Hamilton is an English sci-fi author. This one occurs a few thousand years past two of his previous books, which I read, the first one being Pandora's Star and the next one being Judas Unchained. And even though it's a couple thousand years, or I guess a thousand years
afterwards... Those are really good titles. Like, I'm sorry to jump in like so late, but those are some really cool titles.
They're really interesting. He deals with space travel in a unique way. Instead of ships taking people from planet to planet, which would take forever, he uses wormholes instead.
I think we talked about this. My big thing was, has no one in that universe ever seen the movie Event Horizon?
I think Peter Hamilton chose to ignore it.
How can you ignore Event Horizon?
It's human-made wormholes.
Event Horizon.
Okay.
We made a wormhole. You know what we found in the center? Satan.
Okay, I don't remember that part of it. Anyway.
Event Horizon, that's what it was. They made wormholes to jump to Jupiter, and it didn't work out because there was hell in the middle.
Anyway, so Dreaming Void, which I'm in the middle of reading, 1,000 years after these other two, but the way technology works in it, humans can regenerate themselves and relife themselves should they experience what he calls body loss. And so even though you're way after the first two books, you still have similar characters because mankind can live that long now.
So 1986 was the first MISCON.
That's why we named it Nerd Birds in Space.
And that was 25 years ago, and I don't remember 1986 very well because I was negative 4 months old to 8 months old in 1986. But there's a lot of the culture of that time that I really like, and if I would have had a chance to be at MISCON, I probably would have come. My parents probably would have hated it, but it would have been a cool thing. But one thing we talked about earlier was, like, you know, the cool sci-fi movies that came out in 1986, because I know one of our favorites, like the one that we've just talked about for hours on end, Star Trek IV.
Star Trek IV is my favorite Star Trek.
The Voyage Home. I've always liked the Star Treks that have to deal with time travel. So there's a Voyage Home, First Contact. Fun fact, First Contact takes place in Montana on my birthday.
Nice.
Not the same year, but...
It wasn't... The Borg didn't...
No,
the Borg... Try taking over the Earth
in 1986. Maybe they are. Maybe they are. But yeah, I love Star Trek IV. It's one of the best science fiction comedies of all time. It's hilarious. It probably, I think, is one of the higher grossing of the original Star Trek movies, too. And it's just a lot of fun. And a really goofy environmental message in it, too. It's like, hey, don't kill the whales, because aliens from space will murder us if they don't find whales on our planet 400 years in the future.
I think when I... Because I don't know how old I was in 1986. Not that old, but... That movie put me on this wanting to save the whales kick. Even though I was in a landlocked state, you know, I wanted to get out there and help the whales.
You didn't even know what whales were at that point. Like, they're important, whatever they are. I don't even know what whales are now. I just don't care. Like, Whale Wars is on. Don't know what they are. Just don't care whatsoever. I'm sure they're important, because obviously they protect us from aliens. Whales are important, is what we're trying to get at. So the next time you want to kill a whale... Just think about what happened in the future, I guess.
Speaking of movies, are there any trailers that you've seen lately that have got you really excited?
Gee, okay. The teaser trailer for The Amazing Spider-Man, the reboot of the Spider-Man franchise, was just released last week. And I have some serious issues with it. One, I'm a nerd. But two, it's like they're saying, hey, man, Spider-Man 3 is awesome. It's pretty emo. But what would make it more awesome? Making it more emo. So they decided to make The Amazing Spider-Man, which I just had this really terrible, sick feeling in my stomach the entire time, despite the incredible cast.
Who's playing Spider-Man?
Not Donald Glover. That's all that I know. Andrew Garfield, I think his name is. I don't think I'm going to see that one opening day.
One trailer that I got kind of excited about, though my wife didn't agree with me, was John Carter from Mars.
John Carter of Mars. They go after the books.
With Mars... Seeing how we can't decide...
John Carter and the Spiders from Mars. The rise and fall of John Carter and the Spiders
John
from Mars.
John Carter. So I saw the preview to John Carter the other day. And not knowing what it is, I wasn't familiar with the books beforehand. Now people are like, why is this guy doing a science fiction podcast if he doesn't know? Anyway, so I was watching and I was like, looking at it and I was like, okay, this kind of looks like Sherlock Holmes. And then there was a cut and I was like, no, wait. No, this is kind of Cowboys and Alien-ish, which I want to see next month. And then... Then we have another scene. I was like, okay, now we're Prince of Persia. No, wait a minute. Avatar? I'm like, what the heck is this movie?
What is this amazing thing?
I was like, this is great. You know, it's like everything in one. And I want to see it, but I showed it to my wife, and she's like, really?
Ayumi's a classy lady.
She just doesn't appreciate it.
Not easily wild by the visuals of Sherlock Avatar of Persia.
Right.
Why don't I get to name movies? Sherlock Avatar of Persia.
No idea.
And Aliens, I guess. Get all four titles in there.
Games! Let's move on to games.
Please do.
Have you played anything interesting lately?
Well, I did start with my Sunday night group, my Eberron game, using the Pathfinder system.
I saw you posted a picture of that on Facebook.
I did.
How's it going?
It's going really well. The... players don't know what's happening, which is either a good thing or a bad thing. But I think everyone's having a good time. The high magic world, because no one's really played an Eberron in my group before. Like, yeah, they're vaguely familiar with it, but I wanted it to release it because it's one of my three favorite of the, you know, canonical D&D settings. Eberron, I would say Dark Sun and Ravenloft are my favorites.
I digged Dark Sun.
Dark Sun's really cool. I don't know if you're a fan of the 4th edition stuff, but have you seen the 4th edition setting for Dark Sun?
I have not seen it.
They do a lot of stuff really, really well. But there's a lot of stuff that I'm kind of meh about with it.
When I was little and we played Dark Sun, we'd play in my basement. And we would turn out all the lights except one lamp. Trying to set the move. I don't know why it was just the one lamp. We'd crank up the heat to make it really hot. And then we would burn incense. And that was our setting for Dark Sun.
I would hate to see if you guys played Ravenloft.
Yeah, well, at least we didn't play in loincloths, though, so...
That's, no.
We didn't go that far.
I remember, if you ever, like, watch on TV when there's one of those, like, really ill-informed programs about how role-playing games lead to suicide and satanic cults, you always see, like, the real life, like reinterpretation of what they were doing, like the what's the word I'm thinking of? Reenactment.
Right.
The reenactment of them, and they're always like sitting around the table, like playing by candlelight. I can only imagine that the only way that role playing is evil if you play by candlelight.
Yeah, I have never tried it by candlelight, just by one single lamp.
I have, and I'll tell you, it's really difficult when you're looking up a rule.
I imagine so.
My one of my copies of Deadlands Reloaded is much the worse for wear now.
Is it a pile of ashes?
It's half a book now.
It's half a book. I had an experience with that in a mountain bike once before, but anyway.
No. Okay, because when you say things like that, it makes me think that you're in a dark room playing Savage Worlds or something. It's like, man, I need to read the side of my bike, and it caught on fire?
No, it wasn't my bike. It was actually a roommate's bike. And
so I need to read my roommate's bike in the dark?
I wasn't reading it, but there was fire involved, and then my roommate had half a bike left when I was done with it.
I will never make you angry.
Yeah.
I will destroy half of what you love.
So,
how about you? Have you been doing any awesome gaming lately?
Yeah, I have recently played a card game that I really like called Ascension. The full name is Ascension Chronicle of a Godslayer.
I'm not familiar with that one.
It's kind of like Dominion, okay, where it's a deck-building game.
Let me just jump in and say, like, I've never heard of Dominion before this last MISCON, and now everywhere I look, there's Dominion. It's just, like, everywhere.
Yeah, Dominion, I think, is a really accessible deck-building game, more so than I think, say, Magic would be. And it won the Spiel des Jahres, Germany's Game of the Year.
The what?
I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, too. The Spiel des Jahres.
The Germans have a board game?
It's, like, the premier award for board games in the world.
And it's in Germany.
You don't know how big... Like,
I don't.
The Germans are on board gaming. Like, all the best board game designers are German.
That's not true.
That is totally true.
Well, the guy that invented Clue, he wasn't German.
That's because it's not the best board game.
You know what? We're going to have to take this outside.
Okay. Anyway, so yeah, the Dominion won that award. So anyway, back to Ascension. Like Dominion, it's a deck building game. Plays 1-4. I'm really enjoying it. Kind of has a couple of different paths that you can take to score your points on. And also, it is available on your iOS devices, like iPhones, iPods, and iPads. So if anybody else out there has one, wants to try it out, wants to play against me, because you can play online against anyone anywhere, and it allows you to come back and take your turn whenever it is your turn. It doesn't have to be played live. You can hook up with me on the Game Center. My name is Jonathan WC, all one word on there. Why are you laughing?
Jonathan Water Closet?
Jonathan W. Middle Name C. Crummett Last Name.
I'm sorry to laugh, but that...
Okay.
I love potty humor.
So anyway, yeah, if you want to try it out and challenge me to a game, I'm always looking for more people to play on. It's a really good game.
It's really interesting how technology has sort of ingratiated itself to the nerds and being able to play things. Like, I play Words with Friends on my science phone. That game probably causes more fistfights than Scrabble. My friend Spencer, for example, I think he cheats. I don't know. He played Deers. Deers. And he got like flippity billion points for it.
I've played some Word with Friends too. I actually played recently Annie Duke, who is, I think, the 2004 World Series of Poker champion. I met her a few weeks ago. And she played it.
What?
Yeah, so
where do you meet these people?
Here at the University of Montana, I met her. So, but she mentioned it, and so I challenged her to a game, and she crushed me.
Well, I guess you got to know when to hold an ace.
It was not even close.
That game's okay, but then you'll get something like you'll play Oxcart for like 60 points and feel like Bobby Fischer. It's pretty solid.
So yeah, you can challenge me on that one too if you have it out there.
And if you're on Words with Friends, I'm Midas Ears. Two words. Be careful. I know lots of words. In fact, I probably know most words, I would say. Like Oxcart.
Back to board games, though. Another one that I've played quite a bit recently is Hive.
Hive?
Which I kind of bill it as bug chess.
Oh, yeah. I played that with Nicholas Hyde.
Yeah, where you have like the different little hexagonal-shaped tiles with different insects. Anyway, last night I was at a coffee house and I talked to my wife into... playing a game with me. Mm-hmm. She was hesitant to begin with, but she destroyed me at it too. But I think what I realized.
So you're just saying that you can't win in games against ladies?
That's.
Or that Ayumi is just as good at games as a 2004 World Poker.
I think that's the case. She's pretty good. But I realized today what my problem was.
Okay.
I didn't see a move in it. And the reason I didn't see the move is I have this bad habit, I realized, of whichever way the bug is facing, I see that's the only way it can move.
That's
but it doesn't really matter which way the insect's facing on the tile. It can still move its normal move, but I was like, okay, it's facing to the left. She can't jump it to win the game, which she did. All right, well, since we're talking about games, I think that means we have to get back onto our game of Mornington Crescent.
And let me say, after the first podcast, or the negative first podcast, however we want to call that, my friend, Bets Pindris, who was one of our faithful listeners, as in she only listened to one, but that's 100% right now. But she listened to the first one, and she told me, what is this amazing game you're playing? Which shocked me. I mean, she is from Alaska. They probably don't have Mornington Crescent up there, but it's next to baseball. I mean, it's the pastime of the world.
That's a pretty big claim there.
That's a pretty big one. I mean, there's football, and then there's American football, and then there's baseball, and then there's probably Mornington Crescent, I would say.
That's a pretty big bill.
We had a pretty good bumper of Mornington Crescent on the Facebook with Bob Davis.
Cass McGann's husband.
Yes. Yes, that Bob Davis. We had it got really intense. He and Crummett here, myself, a couple other people who we've never met, they were adequate players.
Yeah, you know what? He helped me out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one point in playing it. And then so, you know, I told him I'd keep him in mind. And the very next move, he comes back needing me to get him out of NIDS. And I was like, seriously? That quickly? You know, it's infuriating.
Well, let's go ahead. I remember correctly, you were at Aldgate East. Is that right?
Yes, and you were at Charing Cross.
Of course I was. I was doing the standard mansion house gambit.
Well, you weren't too impressed with my moves last time, so I've been studying up a little bit. I was reading some of the Fischer versus Bernski games in Toronto of 64.
Oh, that was a good year.
And so I'm going to make a big move that Fischer made, and I'm going Elephant and Castle.
Ooh, okay. I think I know what you're doing there, but that's good. Now, we're playing by the Imperial rules, aren't we?
Of course.
Okay, so by the edit of 1832, I think that my best option right now is to move right up to Highgate.
Highgate?
Now, I can move there, obviously. I mean, normally, if you aren't familiar with Mornington Crescent, normally you can't do that. But because we're playing by the Imperial rules, we can.
All right, well, then I'm just going to go ahead and counter myself and take myself up 3 to Oxford Circus.
Ooh. Okay, maybe you did study a little bit on here. Now, did you ever see the movie Wild Geese, the great Mornington Crescent movie that came out in the late 1970s?
I've seen parts of it, but I haven't watched it all the way through.
It's really sad. I hear they're doing a remake of it, which I'm a little worried about, with Robert Pattinson, actually. I just don't see him, I mean, in that role, like one of those iconic roles in Mornington Crescent. Mm-hmm. But that's neither here nor there. But one thing, like I was rewatching it recently this last week, because some people had never seen it before, some big MC fans. And one thing that I like, and you'll forgive me for doing a really bad impression here, but... You think you're smart, do you? Well, then, I'm going to Moor Park.
That's very good. I'm glad that you're doing bad impersonations, because I'm going to do something likewise as hideous here. Not with the move, but just because of where I'm going to make my next play. Still drawing on a bunch of Fischer's tactics in those Toronto games, and I'm going to go with Gospel Oak!
You magnificent bastard. All right. Well, I've got one move left, and I'm still at Moor Park. I know it's a bit early in the game, but I have a feeling I know what's going to happen for your next move, and I don't want to give you the advantage. So I'm going to burn my first letter of mark, and I'll take two moves at the beginning of next game.
All right. There we go.
That was solid. That's solid. This is a great game.
It is.
This should just be the whole podcast.
I'll have to... I'm sure that people love that.
Yeah.
I'll have to read up some more during this next week.
And check out, actually, I think the trailer for the new Mornington Crescent, the Wild Geese, is going to be out there. It looks pretty intense. It has sort of the Inception trailer, where it's like everything goes, and then it's black, and then it goes, and it's black, and you hear the bomb.
That's very geese-like.
It's... That's what they're doing. I guess that's what they're going for, but it's a pretty solid one there.
All right, well, I think that wraps us up with our Mornington Crescent, and then I guess we're still like kind of on the theme of games. Might as well throw out our next contest.
Hey, that's a great idea, because this upcoming Saturday, July 30th, at the University of Montana, UC Center, we're having our MISCON Game Day. We have it once a season. It's a great time to come together, get some pickup games, meet some cool gamers around, from Missoula and the surrounding area, and just have fun with a lot of nerdy people. So our next contest is going to be associated with that. Now, following in with 1986, we should probably announce what the prize is first, because people probably tuned out by now and have gone over to, watch reruns of Voyager on Netflix. But let's go ahead, because right now we've got a pretty cool gift, and to win this contest, you have to come to the game day. And more importantly, you have to find Jonathan Crumbiter, myself, yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
And tell us the answer.
Tell us the answer. And if you win, you are going to get a new dice set purchased from Muse Comics in Missoula, Montana. There's a 1986 science fiction film where the main character's name is Saint Number 5. What is this movie, and what does the Saint stand for?
I know this one.
Because we looked it up together.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But we still know it.
I guess I can't win.
No, you can't. Or you can. If you tell yourself first at game day, you get the dice. But you have to pay for them, so we'll exclude ourselves. We'll do that.
That'd probably be a good thing to do.
All right. So that seems pretty solid.
All righty. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for this episode of MISCast, this first episode.
This first episode, second episode, I guess.
Yes, however we decide to number these things. The Nerd Birds in Space episode.
Where's that music coming from?
If you have any other comments or suggestions or anything you want us to read on air.
Hate mail. We're a big fan of that. If you really don't like us, you tell us. Email us at
MISCast@MISCON.org.
Thanks so much. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
We'll see you next time.